Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining me now is David May. He's a research manager, senior analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, where he focuses on economic warfare, sanctions, and terror finance. Well, we know Zoran Mamdani, a democratic socialist state assemblyman, has won the New York City mayoral race, becoming the mayor, I think it's on January the 1st. Right, so he's previously backed measures like Not on Our Dime, aimed at curbing U.S. nonprofit support of Israel, BDS-aligned organizations. There's a lot that has gone on here. David, good morning. Hope you are well. Well, as we spoke earlier to Shabbos Kestenbaum, he said, I can't even say good morning, A, because it's not morning, and B, because it ain't good. Would you agree with that?
I'll still wish you a good morning.
Well, thank you. You see, at least David's taken it down a notch, and I respect that. Okay, so your headline on the Mamdani's win, is it as concerning as some are saying and we are feeling?
I certainly think it's a cause for concern, especially just how prominently the Israeli-Palestinian issue played in this election. And we're seeing this both on the left and on the right in the United States with just extremists being empowered. And so we have this with Mamdani, who, you know, this wasn't just like something that he walked into in terms of supporting the Palestinian cause and opposing Israel. This was actually, according to his own words, this is what animated his call to enter politics. He founded the Students for Justice in Palestine chapter at his university. He has embraced the boycott, divestment, sanction campaign against Israel. And so this hostility toward Israel is pretty central to who he is. And I think that one thing to note, especially, you know, from the right in the United States, it's pretty easy to detect and discern the anti-Semitism. A lot of it is pretty out in the open. But on the left, it's a little harder to detect. But still, the kind of rhetoric that targets Israel and in particular supporters of Israel, primarily Jews in the United States, allows people who are carrying out attacks against Jews to believe that they're doing so out of righteousness, ending a supposed genocide rather than just being bigots themselves.
The concern around being funded by CARE links to all of some organizations that are problematic and have been problematic in the past is something that I've seen come up over and over again. How valid is this as a concern?
Certainly, it's a concern, especially given that those claims were made by political activists on the CARE side. One thing that I would just add is that we talk about this red-green alliance, the red being the more socialist-oriented, and green the Islamist-oriented individuals, and sometimes they can come together, and it's all very easy to come together when you're opposing something. But then when you're actually in power, there's going to be a lot of conflicts between the two. Mamdani has espoused a lot of opinions relating to social issues, LGBTQ issues, that really will not sit well with a lot of the Islamist people who are supportive of him. And so it will cause certain fractures within his base.
And the concerns around cutting funding for, the Technion, or one of the technical schools that has a relationship with Israel, the protection of Jewish students on campuses. How real is that?
I think it's very real, and it's a bit ironic because one of the big strikes Israel and supporters of Israel is saying that people are Israel firsters, putting Israel's priorities over those of the local council in which you're sitting. And so here is a case in which, according to Mamdani's rhetoric, he is prioritizing his opposition to Israel over things that can actually, be positive elements for New York City.
What's also interesting is that there seemed to be a real comfort in him almost ignoring or whitewashing some of his earlier statements, not being held accountable for some of the things that he said in the past in terms of intimating that, you know, Israel has a boot on your neck, on the neck of whatever it would be, going back to those types of incidents. Why is it that he wasn't held accountable for anything that he seemed to espouse earlier on in his career?
The example that you just gave in terms of blaming Israel for perceived police violence in the United States, I mean, that's a pretty classic example of anti-Semitism, where you blame all of your society's ills on this foreign, scary actor being Israel. Unfortunately, I think that in the United States, the way the politics goes, it rewards people who are unapologetic, people who, if you judge them favorably, stick to their guns, but people who don't admit to failure. And so as long as you can get enough people who are ideologically aligned with you to mask over your shortcomings or statements that you've made that are objectionable, that's just what we're seeing in American politics.
Was his win so as much about him as we think it is, or was it also a lack of alternatives? And because when I think about it, as a non-New Yorker, non-American, but interested in American politics, I have very little idea about what the other candidates stand for, other than the fact that they stood not for him. In other words, they were the alternative to somebody, but it was all about that somebody. Is it because they weren't good candidates? They didn't have a strong message? They were just old and tired, and people of New York wanted something different? Are we putting, in other words, a little bit too much weight on some of the awful things that he says and supports, rather than actually looking at it from maybe zoomed out a little bit?
I think that's right to a certain extent. Up until he won the primary, he was seen as a long shot candidate, but he was going up against two people who were splitting the mainstream Democratic vote: the current mayor Eric Adams, and his other competitor Cuomo. Both of whom didn't, as you were saying, they didn't run a particular, they didn't present a narrative of a vision for the city so much, especially toward the end when it became a desperate attempt to try to do anything to prevent Mamdani from becoming mayor. It was just, please don't vote for this person. He's going to run the city into the ground. And so I think that speaks to a lot of it. There's also the mainstream Democratic leadership, the national leadership, had to make a decision when Mamdani won the primary. Does it throw its weight behind this candidate who is pretty extreme? Does it see this Mamdani as the direction, the future direction of the party? Does it do what sometimes is done, which is try to reset course and do anything you can to avoid a catastrophe or potential catastrophe for your party? And the Democratic Party went and got behind him. So here we have a candidate who's endorsed by the mainstream Democratic Party. He's the Democratic candidate. And he, in addition to that, has a lot of support among the younger crowd in particular.
The final question, and it's actually been bothering me as well, is the squad seemed to be a little silent throughout this campaign. Now, I don't know if that is just the news feeds I'm seeing or the social media I'm seeing, or if there was a deliberate a deliberate strategy, because they actually aren't particularly popular, to pull back a little bit, not to be too closely associated with that element in the Democratic Party, in order for him to gain this win. What's your thoughts?
I mean, he received support from the mainstream, from former President Barack Obama. And so there were several, especially from the Obama administration, individuals lending their support to Mamdani. So he has the support of many of the main players in the Democratic Party. I think it's a very worrying trend that it might portend for the future, if demonstrating such hostility toward Israel becomes a mainstay of the Democratic Party. 37% of voters thought that the Israeli-Palestinian issue was a main consideration, and about half of those voted for Mamdani. So it doesn't bode well. I would also, maybe not boding well, is the fact that he was so popular with the younger demographic. With the older demographic, he actually didn't do so well. But you know, the voters are only getting younger, and the older ones are not going to be there for however long. So it does seem like this is the potential trajectory for the Democratic Party, and I guess we'll see in the next elections.
David May, thank you. As always, David is the research manager, senior research analyst at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, specializing in economic warfare.